So today we have a guest. We're going to have Devin preaching for us. But before I call Devin up, I just want to officially say my appreciation and give thanks to Lord Will for preaching the gospel last week. Lord Will, you've been a Christian maybe a decade, maybe a little over a decade. Yeah, and he's been studying very diligently. This was his second time last week to give a message in a church. English is not his first language, and he just, I was blessed. I had a basketball game, and on my way here, I was listening to his sermon on YouTube, and when someone is speaking from the Bible and sharing a scripture, the Bible is like, if you imagine a world-class heavyweight boxer, and he's just punching and punching and punching. The Word of God is like one of those punches. It's just the impact on your heart and on your mind. And Lord Will just uses scripture and verse to impact us with the good news. And I want to just say thank you to the Lord for Lord Will. So thank you, Lord Will. Yeah. Devin, this is his second tour through Japan. He's been in Japan before the pandemic. He came to be a missionary with the Pioneers team. And he decided, I'm going to go home to the United States and bring a wife back with me. So he went back and found a beautiful lady. And then, yeah, lovely. Good job there, Devin. Going above your weight class. I don't know. But he's come back, and he's been a faithful a part of Mitaki's ministry, as well as Miyajima Praise Chapel's ministry. And we have a word in Japanese. It's called neshin. Neshin na hito. And neshin means, I guess the direct translation would be keen or very eager. When I think of Devin and Brianna and how they're always here and always here when the church is open and very willing and keen and eager to serve the Lord in any capacity, it's very encouraging. And so I'm very happy that he was willing to prepare and give us a message from the Lord today. So let's all welcome Devin as he comes to preach the Word of God. Come on up, Devin.
Can you hear me okay? Oh, there I am. Hello, everyone. It's really an honor to be here. Words cannot express what it means for me to be here. It was a long journey getting back to Japan, and to be able to share from God's word in front of all of you, it means the world to me, and I don't take this honor lightly, but I definitely want to share God's word with you today. So if you have your bulletins, you see the little title we have, Giving the Gift of Hope. This is the Christmas season. Who's excited for Christmas? Who loves Christmas? Who only loves it because they like getting gifts? Maybe don't raise your hand. But this is a season of gifts. We think about Christmas, we think about gifts, but I think we've lost sight of why we do gifts. And the gifts are that we've been given a gift from God, and that was Jesus Christ. So we call this season Advent. We're in the Advent season. That's just talking about the arrival. So we're celebrating the arrival of Christ. And this is a big deal. This isn't just, fun decorations and present time. This is the revelation of God's purpose for his restoration narrative, and that is the coming of Christ and what Christ would do for us and has done for us. And we break up Advent into four little things. So this is the first Sunday of Advent, so we get to talk about hope. Hope. You know, when you define hope, it's merely an expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. So, you know, a lot of us have hope that the Carp are going to do even better next year. You know, we hope that the Carp are going to actually make it to the, you know, Japan series and win it. Some of us have hope for more simple things, more material things. We hope for a better job or a promotion. You know, these are things that we expect and, you know, want to happen, but have not come to fruition. So hope, when you look at it in a material sense, it doesn't really have the same impact. You know, it's hope is almost for children. We want our children to hope for a better future, and we hope for them. But as adults, we kind of just, okay, just do it. Just get it done. You know, we know what we have to do. Get it done. Hope really doesn't have a place in our hearts as much as it should. But I think having a better understanding of the importance of hope is understanding hopelessness. Hopelessness, not having hope, is serious. It's a condition. Psychologists have been examining this hopelessness for a long time. It's this feeling of despair that nothing can get better. Nothing ever will. And when hopelessness is severe enough, it could lead to deep depression and suicidal thoughts and actions. So if you've ever experienced hopelessness, and I pray that none of you do, I pray that you have the hope that is in Christ. But if you've ever experienced hopelessness, you understand how important hope is, how necessary hope is. So what is this hope then? That hope is found in the Christmas message, in the coming of Christ. Christ is that realized hope. Christ is that realization of what hope should be. We put our hope in Him, what He has done. And we can have full confidence in that hope of our future. And I'm not talking about a better job or happiness. I'm talking about our eternal future with God. That's where our hope is. And our hope is in Christ. And He is who has accomplished that. So the Christmas story is the bringing of that hope. It's the arrival of the hope that God had promised mankind when He promised mankind restoration. It is to be realized in Christ. So the Jews at this time, they were looking forward to this hope. Their hope was in this being revealed and accomplished. We get the privilege of living in that hope realized. We get Christ. We know what He's done for us. We can have that hope alive in us constantly. And I want to share that hope. I want to give you that gift of hope through the Scripture. Because I want you to be able to give that gift of hope this Christmas season to those around you. Because there are so many people without hope. The words, "I have no hope," were said to me by a Japanese student once, before I had any idea of what it meant to be a missionary, what it meant to give that gift. And I'm standing here today because those words pierced my heart. I have no hope. We live in a land of a lot of people without hope. So let's give them the gift of hope. And let's open our Bibles. If you have your Bibles or if you have the bulletin, we're going to be in Luke. And I know I've got a lot of scripture, but it's the Christmas narrative. So get excited. This is Christmas. This is Jesus. So we're going to be reading from verse 26 all the way to 56, I know. But I want us to read together when we get to verse 46. We'll read 46 through 55 together. But let's start in verse 26 of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Let's read together. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And so Mary stayed a while with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. Amen. What a miracle. What a miracle and what a blessing. We call this the angelic visit. Some call it the announcement. But the angel had prophesied to Mary, telling her of this promise finally being fulfilled. To the Jews, this is what they had been looking forward to. For centuries, there had been silence from God. For centuries, they had been waiting for God's promise to be filled, for this Messiah to come, for this answer from God to come to bring restoration to Israel and to the whole world. And they didn't fully know how it was going to happen, but they were waiting and expecting. They had prophecies speaking of this. But here we see that it's finally being answered. That the words of the angel to Mary weren't just like, "Hey, this is going to happen." But God is answering his promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the good news. This is the arrival of our Lord, of our Savior. And he will be called Jesus, which means Savior. This is the Savior come to earth. This is the hope realized. This is the hope that we have to share. This is the hope that we get to celebrate during Christmas, that Jesus has come. And so it is announced to Mary in this passage we see. And we see she's confused. she's willing, but she's confused. "God, how is this going to happen?" She's asking the angel, "Angel, what? I'm a virgin, how's this going to happen?" But we see that it's in the mystery and the miraculous nature of God that Jesus was conceived. That it's not by the hands of men, it's not by something that we created, but it's by God alone that Jesus was conceived, as we see the Holy Spirit would overcome her. So this is an answer. This is the messianic answer, what they were looking for. The person who would be the son of David, of the lineage of David, who would rule forever. And though they did not fully understand what that would look like, we who have the full story understand that Jesus' kingdom is forever. And that we are part of that kingdom. And that as members of that kingdom, we have a role to play. And that's to share this hope that was given to Mary this day, and that would be given to all of Israel, and then would be given to all the world. And we see Mary's response, that she would be a faithful servant, that she would be accepting of this. This lowly woman from Nazareth, basically a podunk nothing town in a region that was looked on in disdain. Of all people, her. But she would be faithful. And knowing all the things that would come with her taking upon this role, she would be faithful. How scary it must have been, but how great was her hope. How great was her hope to take on this role as a faithful servant. Is our hope in Christ the same? Are we willing to take on the world? The discomforts of being Christian in a world that is against Christianity. To share this message. To share this hope. We see then that she visits her cousin Elizabeth. If you read earlier on in Luke, we see the message that was given to her by the first angelic visitation to Zacharias, that she would bear who we would know to be John the Baptist, who would come preceding the way of Christ before Christ's ministry began. But Mary comes and visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth recognizes through the Holy Spirit what's occurred. She basically confirms what has been done by what the angel proclaimed. And we see that even John in the womb jumps for joy, knowing that the Savior is here. That the Savior is in the womb right across from him. How great is that? And a side note, if you ever need an argument against abortion, it's right here. We have John the Baptist in the womb, leaping for joy, knowing that his Savior is in the womb right across from him. That's argument enough for me. And so we see the confirmation by Elizabeth that her Savior is here. That who Mary is carrying will be that who saves the world, who fulfills the joy, who fulfills this promise, who brings us this hope. If we go back to Isaiah, and we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, this was prophesied well before. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is the fulfillment. This is our mighty counselor come. This is our Prince of Peace come. This is the incarnate God, Emmanuel, God with us, come. This is our hope, come. So we see our Messiah has arrived. And we would see, as Christians, we know the work. We know what he has come to do. We know what he's accomplished. And we know what he is currently doing. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. interceding for us daily. This is who we put our hope in. And last week, Lord will, he shared us the salvation message. He shared from John 3:16. This is who came. This was the only begotten Son of God who came, who stepped down from heaven to take on this role of a servant, this role in this messy, dark earth filled with sin, who would go on to die for us and be raised again to sit at the right hand of the Father. That is the gospel, and that is where our hope is. So then Mary, we see Mary, she sings this song. And her song is this song of joy and recognition that all that the angel had prophesied to her has come true. And we see in it that this is who Israel had been hoping for. And so what does that mean for us? Because we see that this is the hope for Israel, but this extends beyond just Israel. This is the hope for the world. The Jews had been looking forward to this for so long, but that hope is extended to us. We see in Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature of the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is the hope that's been extended to us. That it wasn't just for Israel, but it was for the whole world. That we would be able to know our Savior. That we would be able to know forgiveness from sins. That we would be able to escape this darkness that has its grip on us. That we would be free to be alive in Christ and to have eternal life. Eternal life isn't something that happens later. It's something we can have right now. And we have it in Christ. We're alive in Christ. What joy. What joy is that? So great. We should be shouting from the rooftops. We should be shouting this message of hope. And as we go through the Advent season, we'll get to talk about joy. We'll get to talk about peace. We get to talk about love. Because all these things come with Christ's arrival. Are we looking forward to this eternal life? Or are we still grounded and rooted deeply, clinging to this material life we have right here? The arrival of Christ is beckoning us to recognize something greater than what's right here. The arrival of Christ is calling us to look forward to what he's called us to, and that's to be with him. To be with him always. And we as a church, we have a role to play. That role is, number one, first and foremost, loving God. Second, loving each other. But third, to bring that love to the whole world. We get pretty good at one and two, but three, we kind of run out of gas at that point. Church, we need that hope to be alive in us, to fire us up, to be that fuel that brings that hope outside these doors. Hope shouldn't just happen in here. It shouldn't just happen on our Sundays. It shouldn't just happen in our personal Bible time. That hope needs to fuel us to bring that message to the world. Because like I said, there are so many people out there who need that message of hope, who are hopeless, who are stuck in darkness. John 3:19, continuing on from the message of salvation that we know in 3:16, 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." We live in a world that loves darkness. Despite the light having come, that's Jesus having come, we still live in a world full of darkness. And the only answer to that darkness is being the light that God has called us to be to those who cannot see it themselves. If you ever walked into a dark room, what's the first thing you try and do? Find the light, turn it on. We live in a dark world. We need to be that light. We need to be on all the time. Because the world needs that hope, lest they continue on in that darkness. They don't know that they need to turn the light on. They're content in the darkness. They love the darkness. But we need to turn that light on for them. We need to give them this message of hope. And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the arrival of that hope. And that hope has been realized. That hope has been accomplished. And we can give that hope to everyone. So, but if you need a little motivation, there's a nice friendly command from Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, friendly reminder, it isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment. And we're to bring this hope to the ends of the earth. And so that's my prayer today, is that we recognize our need of hope, that we recognize that our hope is in Christ, and most importantly, that we recognize those around us who need that hope this Christmas season. Let's not all hoard it for ourselves this Christmas. Let not all the joy be contained to our households. Let's bring that joy to the streets. Let's bring that joy to our workplaces. Let's bring that joy to our friends and family who do not yet know the Lord. Because what greater joy is it than all the full body of Christ being able to celebrate who he is and what he's done? That every tongue, whether it be Japanese, English, any language, we want to hear every tongue celebrating God. We want heaven to be full. So let's bring that hope this Christmas season. Let's remember hope. And let's share that hope. And I want to finish by reading from John. John gives a very unique Advent message in his speaking of the coming of Christ. But we see in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jesus is the Word. He is the light. He is the truth. He is our hope. Let's pray. Father, how great is your love? How great is your love that you would send your son? How great is your love that you've had a plan since the beginning to save us, and that his name would be Jesus, Savior, and that your son would come, that he would lower himself, that he would bring himself to this earth, into this darkness, and that he would be the light. He would be the light that saves us. He would be the light that shines. He would be the light that would show your love, God, even to the point of death, even to the point of death on a cross. God, how good is your love? How good are your promises? How good are your promises fulfilled? For God, you do not lie. God, you are a fulfiller of your promises. God, you are good to your word, for you are good. You are good and holy. Thank you for your son. Thank you that we can celebrate Christmas, the coming of Christ, and what he would do for us. Lord, may we not squander this time. May we truly understand the hope that we have in Christ. May we truly understand the hope that we have to share with others. May we give that gift of hope to a world without hope, to a hopeless world that lies in the darkness still. Lord, be the light that shines for them, that they may see, that they may know the hope that they can have in Christ, the freedom that they can have in your Son, if only they would believe. Lord, help us to share. Give us the fire in our hearts to love those around us, to share this Christmas message, to share the truth of your gospel, of what you've done for us. May our hope be realized in all the earth that Jesus has come. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.